breaking in two. There was a quaver in it, a croak, and a whine.
"Respect the aged, O companions of the river. Respect the aged."
Nothing could be seen on the broad reach of the river, except a little fleet of square-sailed, wooden-pinned barges, loaded with building stone, that had just come under the railway bridge and were driving downstream. They put their clumsy helms over to avoid the sandbar made by the scour of the bridge piers, and as they passed, three abreast, the horrible voice began again.
"Oh, Brahmins of the river, respect the aged and infirm."
A boatman turned where he sat on the gunwale, lifted up his hand, said something that was not a blessing, and the boats creaked on through the twilight. The broad Indian River, that looked more like a chain of little lakes than a stream, was as smooth as glass, reflecting the sandy red sky in mid-channel, but splashed with patches of yellow and dusky purple near and under the low banks. Little creeks ran into the river in the wet season, but now their dry mouths hung clear above the waterline. On the left shore, and almost under the railway bridge, stood a mud-and-brick and thatch-and-stick village, whose main street, full of cattle going back to their buyers, ran straight to the river and ended in a sort of rude brick pierhead where people who wished to wash could wade in step by step. That was the Ghaut of the village of Mugger Ghaut. Night was falling fast over the fields of lentils and rice and cotton in the low-lying ground yearly flooded by the river. Over the reeds that fringed the elbow of the bend and the tangled jungle of the grazing grounds behind the still reeds, the parrots and crows, who had been chattering and shouting over their evening drink, had flown inland to roost, crossing the outgoing battalions of the flying foxes, and cloud upon cloud of water birds came whistling and honking to the cover of the reed beds. There were geese, barrel-headed and black-backed, teal, widgeon, mallard, and sheldrake, with curlews, and here and there, a flamingo. A lumbering adjutant crane brought up the rear, flying as though each slow stroke would be his last.
"Respect the aged, Brahmins of the river. Respect the aged."
The adjutant half turned his head, sheered a little in the direction of the voice, and landed stiffly on the sandbar below the bridge. Then you saw what a ruffianly brute he really was. His back view was immensely respectable, for he stood nearly 6 feet high and looked rather like a very proper bald-headed parson. In front it was different, for his alley-sloper-like head and neck had not a feather to them, and there was a horrible raw skin pouch on his neck under his chin, a hold-all for the things his pickaxe beak might steal. His legs were long and thin and skinny, but he moved them delicately and looked at them with pride as he preened down his ashy gray tail feathers, glanced over the smooth of his shoulder, and stiffened into a standard attention. A mangy little jackal, who had been yapping hungrily on a low bluff, cocked up his ears and tail and scattered along the shallows to join the adjutant. He was the lowest of his caste. Not that the best of jackals are good for much, but this one was peculiarly low, being half a beggar, half a criminal, a cleaner-up of village rubbish heaps, desperately timid or wildly bold, everlastingly hungry, and full of cunning that never did him any good.
"Ugh," he said, shaking himself dolefully as he landed. "May the red mange destroy the dogs of this village. I have 3 bites for each flea upon me, and all because I looked, only looked, mark you, at an old shoe and a cow by.